Ruth chapter 2. Last week we covered the first 17 verses of the chapter, and we're going to just go ahead and read our text, Ruth 2, 18 through 23 will be our text this evening. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Let me just go ahead and back up into verse 17. We got to get a running start here, okay? So this is kind of gives us the end of what we looked at last week. So she gleaned in the field until even. This would be Ruth, of course, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. About, what do we say, about 48 pounds worth of barley that she's gleaned. And in verse 18, let's begin. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave it to her all that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where have you been to do so well? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She realizes that something special has happened. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And I wonder how big the eyes of Naomi got when she said the name. Verse 20, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. We have an interesting aha moment that we see in this passage of Scripture. And I want to preach a simple message tonight. We're going to look at, kind of walk through this text, but then about halfway through, we'll transfer over to our world and talk about some of the principles that we see that would apply to us in this. I want to preach a message to you with this title, Acknowledging His Goodness and Praising His Providence. Acknowledging His Goodness and Praising His Providence. With the close of chapter 2 here that we've read would kind of be the end of the first act of this narrative of between Ruth and Boaz, this love story, if you will, that is commencing. It began all the way back in chapter 2 with Elimelech's decision to leave the promised land and to go where he shouldn't have gone, and God's hand of chastisement came because of that. And we saw in chapter 1, the end part there in 16 and 17, Ruth's desire and decision to remain with Naomi and to not just remain with Naomi, but to hold fast unto the Lord, the one true God. And we saw the providence of God in the preparations of God in the kinsman and Boaz and his providence there at the beginning of chapter 2, those first three verses that show us kind of a bird's eye view of what is about to happen. And we see God's providence and his preparation and all that he's done. And we're overwhelmed by that, and we're awed by that, as we should be. And we realize in verse 12 of chapter 2, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And with the idea and the understanding that God is a rewarder of the faithful. And so we've talked at length, and we've seen in detail God's provision. We've seen his providence. We've seen his blessing and watch care on these two widow women and what he is doing on their behalf. And we also just intrinsically can make application and realize that God also works on our behalf. And he is His providence is seen not just in Bible times, but in our time and in our day. And I want to encourage us tonight or challenge us on how to respond when we see His providence, how to acknowledge that in our lives. What should we do when we see God's hand? What should we do when we can't see God's hand in the middle of a situation? And so we want to acknowledge His goodness and praise His providence. So let's begin as just kind of walk through the narrative here. It begins in verse 18 with Naomi, having seen Ruth's success, asks concerning the source. She's curious where this happened. Let's notice a few verses beginning, a few phrases in the verse here as we walk down. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, and she took it up. This would be Ruth carrying the 48 pounds that she has carried and gleaned that day. Let's remember that this 48-pound bag of grain was heavy. She was loaded down. No, maybe she was sweating just a little bit, a little flushed as she's walking in with this big sack of grain that she's carried into the city. I mean, the fields aren't the city, so she had to walk at least some way to get back home carrying this. It was no doubt a little bit toilsome. And then it says that she saw her mother-in-law, Naomi, sees Ruth carrying what she's been able to glean, and she's surprised by that. Naomi saw how good she had done by one day of gleaning. And I guess Naomi had some experience or at least some understanding, knowing that this wasn't typical. This was a bit over the top. This was a bit extra. And if I could read in between the lines just a little bit in verse 18, it says, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. What is that in reference to? I mean, I don't know about you, but you don't really just eat grain. You usually cook it or do something with it. I believe this is in reference to the parched corn that Boaz took out of his hand and gave to her, and she ate and had leftovers. And of course, not being wasteful, took those with her and said, here, Naomi, look, we got this. And then here's some leftovers. And Naomi ate some of that too. And Naomi's thinking, man. And Naomi asks the question, where hast thou gleaned today? Where have you been? What's going on here? And she acknowledges that something special is taking place here in verse 19. But she also acknowledges something that it's important to just highlight for a moment here. Naomi acknowledges that Ruth has been blessed, but also that Ruth has been working quite hard. She says, where wroughtest thou? Now, she understands that even if she was blessed and allowed to glean a little bit more than normal, it's still hard work to harvest all day in a field. And the word wrought here, it means to work, to labor. If you look it up in the Dictionary of Biblical Languages and related to Strong's Concordance, it says to expend considerable effort and activity in any task or endeavor. So Naomi sees her, sees what she's carrying, and realizes that not only has she been blessed, she's worked very hard. She's worked very hard. And God seems to bless hard work, doesn't He? He blesses hard work. And while God is a sovereign God, God is one who provides and protects and provides for us in so many ways, He doesn't, you know, feed us as we're lazy sitting on the couch. He gives us the wherewithal to work and to be blessed through effort. And we see that taking place here for Ruth. And Naomi even says, where wroughtest thou? You've been hard at work. And where have you been? And she says this, Naomi says this, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. It seems Naomi knows a little bit about what's going on here. And I don't know if she's been spying on her or if she just realizes that there's some landowner has taken special interest in her so that she could have this much. She praises the man that was gracious to Ruth, and rightfully so. But, you know, we understand, and Boaz acknowledged that really it wasn't Boaz that was providing, it was God. It was God that was providing. And so blessed is he that taketh knowledge of thee. Who was it really? Yes, it was Boaz, but who was it really that was taking knowledge of the situation of Ruth and Naomi? It was Jehovah God. It was God. Remember in Sunday school, we were talking about the names of God and the God that seeth thee. And he looked down, he saw Hagar in her situation. Let me tell you, he saw Ruth in the desperation of Naomi's situation and took knowledge of them. And then Ruth begins to respond. She says, the name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And I believe up to this point, because of Naomi's explanation of the kinsman and his relation to the family that will come, because of that explanation or the need to explain, I believe that up to this point, Ruth may not have known Boaz's connection to Naomi's family, to her former husband's family. She was a Moabite, was she not? She most likely had little to no understanding of this concept of a kinsman. This was probably very foreign to her. She didn't quite know, you know, when everybody was gathering around Ruth and Naomi as they were going back into Bethlehem, and they said, "Is that Naomi?" And Naomi says, "No, call me Mara." They recognized her. They knew who she was. They knew her family. Guess who didn't recognize anybody or know anyone? Ruth. Can you imagine following along behind Naomi and seeing the response to Naomi and realizing that Naomi was and her family was somewhat known in this place, and Ruth being like, "Well, I don't know anybody." Maybe you've been in a situation like that. "I don't know anybody." Yeah. She probably didn't know that Boaz was that relation to the family that she had married into. She had seen Boaz's kindness in earlier in chapter 2 as she was gleaning. And no doubt, I don't think Ruth was naive. She realized that Boaz was taking special interest in her. She picked up on the grace that was being showed her, no doubt. She was somewhat shy and timid and some things. But I do not believe she had the understanding of his relation to her former husband until this moment. Until she says, "Ruth, whose field were you in?" And Ruth says, "Oh, it was in some guy, what was it, Boaz." And then the explanation begins to ensue. And Naomi begins, she begins with praising God. She begins by praising God for his blessing. Naomi praises God for his blessing. When Naomi hears the exciting news, she transitions from praising this mystery man who took knowledge of Ruth to praising God. And to praising really the one behind the blessing. "Blessed be he of the Lord." What verse is this? This is verse 20 here. It doesn't quite show on the screen because of copying and pasting. But if you look in your Bibles, it says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord." Now that's all caps. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah God. She's saying the God that the preexistent one, the God that was, that is, and will be, who's had no beginning, had no end, has seen our situation, seen our plight from his transcendent place. Bless his name. Blessed be he of the Lord. She begins to praise God. And though the writer of the book of Ruth, whoever it may be, through his providence and through this bird's eye view that we've been allowed to see, we see the providential hand of God from the beginning, because we've really read the end and we know all of the things that God is orchestrating. And we see the providence and the provision of God leading Ruth and Naomi up to this point. But you must remember, if you put yourself in the shoes of Ruth and Naomi, this is the point when they began to see it. We've seen it all along, but this is the point when they began to acknowledge and see his goodness and praise his providence. Blessed be he of the Lord. And then she says, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. She says, there's hope for us too. He's been kind to the living. He's been kind to the dead. This is in reference to the reality that the kinsman would raise up a son, would raise up sons to continue on the name of the deceased husband. God showed kindness. She's saying, he's still good. Even though our situation has been a wreck for so long because of our own poor decisions, he's still good. Even though my family was in disobedience to leave Bethlehem and we invited the chastening hand of God upon our life, guess who's still good? God's still good. And even though I've experienced the chastening, he's still good. Even though I've experienced the pain of losing a husband, losing two sons, and seeing a daughter-in-law leave me, he's still good. And even though I've seen the pain and I've experienced the bitterness and hardship that of God's hand pressing down upon me, so much so that when I've come back to Bethlehem, all my neighbors say, is this Naomi? She doesn't even look the same. God's still good. And Naomi just clears off a spot and she praises God for his blessing and she acknowledges God's providence. She acknowledges his providence. She says, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. She's saying, Ruth, you don't understand how good God is. This isn't just a meal for a week. This could be our ticket out of this situation. This could be God's way of getting us out, redeeming us out of our destitution. And I think Ruth, as the light bulbs began to click on, she begins to understand just how good her situation is. And because of the information that she's been given, she probably said something like this, well, now that you mention it, he really was taking interest in me in a way I didn't quite understand. Well, now that you mention it, and Ruth begins to tell Naomi about Boaz's interest in her. And she says, well, you know what, Naomi? You know what, mother-in-law? Now that you say this is God's way of redeeming us out of this situation, let me tell you about what he did for me. He told me that I needed to just stay right here in his field. Maybe it's her way of saying, now I know, Naomi, this may not be a one-way street here. He may show some interest as well. Thou shalt keep fast by my young man, even until they have ended all my harvest. Ruth tells Naomi about this interest. Keep fast by my young men until they've ended all my harvest. And Naomi says, Ruth, stay put. Don't go anywhere else. In verse 22, she says, stick with Boaz. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens. What is she saying? Do exactly what he says. Do exactly what he says. Stay right there in his field. Don't let any of those maidens or the men that are helping him harvest see you gleaning in any other field. You stay right there. You stay right close to where Boaz wants you to be. And like a good daughter-in-law, she obeyed. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean to the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So not only was there a barley harvest, after that, there was a wheat harvest that came in, and God protected and provided for them during this time. And God's providence here. This is the aha moment where they're going through a difficult circumstance, and Ruth is just like, well, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go glean, and we'll just see what happens. And God, in his providence, orchestrates this beautiful situation. Man, isn't it beautiful to see God's watch care and God's blessing upon Ruth and Naomi all throughout this book of the Bible? It's so clear to see, and we rejoice to see it. And I believe every one of us here tonight would admit, I sure hope so, that God's providential hand that watched over them also watches over us and provides for us. Yet we also have to understand and realize that we do not see it as God sees it. We are not Jehovah God. We are not one who operates outside of the scope and restraints of time. We don't see it like God sees it. And maybe we're still in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of our situation where we haven't really seen what God is doing in the situation. So I've got some thoughts for us tonight concerning how do we respond to the providence of God. I think the first thing we need to understand here in life situations is the providence of God is not always easily seen in the moment. It's not easily seen in the moment. We get to examine this narrative in Ruth with a bird's eye view, don't we? We get to see the intricate preparations, not only of the orchestration of the situation, but the intricate preparations of the hearts of Naomi and the heart of Ruth. And even in the heart, we get to see through the genealogies, the orchestration and the preparation of the heart of Boaz through his being raised by his mom, Rahab the harlot, who also was a foreigner. Man, we get to see it all, don't we? We get to see such a bird's eye view and say, wow, look what God is weaving and working together in this beautiful narrative with Ruth and Naomi. We get to see and understand that the field that she just, you know, tripped upon was not just some random field. It was orchestrated by God. It was a man's field who was prepared by God for this moment. But they didn't see that. They didn't see that at first. Let me remind you a little bit about Ruth's commitment all the way back in chapter 1. And Ruth's commitment to her mother-in-law and to God back in chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, Ruth says this, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She is fully committed without a safety net, serving God and believing in him, with no expectation of God to provide and God to be merciful. How do you sow? Because she says, where thou diest, I will die. Now that's some faith right there. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so if aught but death part thee and me. You know what Ruth is saying? I believe God. I trust in God. I will be faithful to God. I am in his hands, and the results are up to him. It kind of has the same feel of when the three Hebrew boys went before the king and said, we're not careful to answer thee, king. We're not going to bow to your idol. And maybe God will protect us. Maybe he won't. But we're going to be faithful to do what's right. And that's the sense you get from Ruth here. She's saying, I'm gonna be faithful to God. And we see in this reality of God's providence made manifest to them that God is a rewarder of the faithful. And when we are in a life situation where we desperately need his providence, yet cannot see it, we must remember he's a rewarder of the faithful. And I don't know what God is going to do and work on our behalf, but we've got to be faithful and work hard, as Ruth did, and take steps of faithful obedience to God. And we have to remember that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, yes, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so when we do not have a bird's eye view of our desperate situation, we've simply got to hunker down and see all that we can see before us. And it's this, he's a rewarder of the faithful. So I'm going to be faithful and let the bird's eye view orchestration stuff up to the one who can do it. Yeah. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Faithfulness is not easy. She was faithful to her mother-in-law. She was faithful to follow God and leave her idolatry behind. She was faithful to work very hard, to glean all day, to carry almost 50 pounds of barley back to her mother-in-law in the city, huffing and puffing and sweating all the way. And God blessed her faithfulness. But she didn't know. She didn't see God's overarching hand. She was just faithful to take the steps, the immediate steps of obedience that she could see today. Several years ago, when the Lord moved our family off the mission field, it was a very difficult time for our family, for me. I had, from the moment I surrendered to preach in Bible college, I had my ears pinned back. I'm going to be a missionary in China, and I'll die there if the Lord wants me to. That was my mindset. But when God took my plans and turned them all the way upside down, and I was in a holding pattern for about a year and a half trying to figure out what God was doing, that was a very difficult thing. But my pastor, Pastor Savage, pulled me aside. I said, what do I do? And he said, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Just keep being obedient. Stay faithful. Because the reality is that God is working even when we cannot see it. He's working even when we cannot see it. We know this verse well. This is the verse that we throw out when we don't have a clue what God's doing. It helps us to remember that He's God and we're not. Isaiah 55, 8 through 10. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Here's the modern day paraphrase. I don't think like you do. I don't do things the way you do. Trust me. That's what God is saying. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Just think about that phrase. If we were to take a measuring tape that was infinitely long and stick it on the dirt and try to get up to the top of the heaven, we'd never get there. He says, that's how different your thoughts are from my thoughts. That's how higher my thoughts are from your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What is he saying? I can handle it, but I don't think like you. And you don't think like me. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now that verse is very hard to be obedient to. But it comes with a faith. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Can you imagine what God taught Ruth through this process? I'm going to trust God without a safety net. I'll die where my mother-in-law dies. Yet to see God orchestrate and provide, I believe she grew in her faith in Jehovah God, didn't she? Absolutely. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. When you're in the middle of a trial, you don't always see God's hand. Sometimes you never see God's hand. But after the trial's passed, or at least some time has passed, many times you can have the similar moment, this aha moment of, this is what God is doing. This is what God has been working together for His purpose. When God moved our family here to start Foundation Baptist Church, that was my aha moment. Okay, God, why in the world did you turn my life upside down? Well, it was the only way to get this Tennessee boy who grew up in Beijing to Findlay, Ohio. That's how God works. And we sometimes have those moments and we see His providence. Well, what do? Well, we praise Him. We praise God for His goodness. We praise Him. We be thankful for Him. We live in a very ungrateful and entitled society. Here in this list of all sorts of crazy evil deeds, right in the heart of it is one unthankful. We live in a very unthankful society. And if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can become unthankful for the things that God does for us so often, but we need to praise Him for His goodness. How about this, letter A, when God uses someone to be a blessing, praise Him. Praise God. God used Boaz as His instrument of blessing upon Ruth and Naomi. And many times, if you read the Pauline epistles, you'll see when Paul says that he's thankful for someone, he says, I thank Jesus Christ for you all. He's thanking God for them. And same thing in 1 Corinthians 1:4. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And just as God used Boaz to provide for and bless Ruth and Naomi, so God often uses others to be a blessing in our lives. But ultimately, the source is not that person. It's God. It's God. When God blesses you, share it. When I say share, I don't mean like share the wealth. If God blesses you financially, give it away to everybody. What I mean is tell people about it. Say, look what my God did. Share it. Share the stories. Be vocal about God's goodness. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What do we do when we begin to see an area where God has worked providentially for us and in our lives? We need to acknowledge it. Acknowledge God's providence and his provision. When God meets a need, praise him. Share that testimony. The church is a wonderful place to do that. In fact, I would say today it's God's design place to do that, to share one another, to provoke one another to love and good works, to say, hey, you need to trust God. Why? Because I trusted him and look what he did for me. Yeah. When God allows you, how about this? When God allows you to work and provide for your need and for your family's needs, acknowledge his goodness in that. A lot of times we think that God's providential hand of provision only comes by some unforeseen check in the mailbox, but sometimes it comes with the strength and the wellness to get up and go to work. That's a blessing. You say, well, where's that strength come from? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. You say, well, really, preacher, it was my wisdom and understanding, the steps that I needed to take so that we could be in this advantageous situation. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We need to acknowledge his providence. Let me encourage you this way. In the words of Naomi, stay where God can bless you. Stay where God can bless you. Naomi realized, Ruth, you got a good thing going here. Stay where Boaz can help you. Stay where God can bless you. And for us, what does that mean? It means that we stay obedient. We stay obedient to him. God told this to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, what's that next word? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, all right, let's back up. For then, after you've observed to do everything that's in this book, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to be successful and see God work on your behalf? Be obedient to him. Not that we would somehow merit his goodness or merit his providence by our obedience, but let me tell you, God delights in blessing obedient people. Yeah. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old. Now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Those that are obedient and live right, God tends to take care of them. Yeah, stay obedient. Let her be, stay faithful. Stay faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, work hard knowing that he will reward you. Know that season of reaping will come. Letter C, stay focused. Stay obedient, stay faithful, stay focused. It's very easy. In fact, I'd say it's our tendency to begin to look out at all of the things that we need, to look out at what we need and our necessities and get so focused on that. But Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 6, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is not promoting, let me give some balance here. This is not promoting negligence in your finances, negligence in providing for your family. This is just saying, do not be so consumed by the rat race of monetary gain that you get your focus on material things when it should be on his kingdom, when it should be on serving him and doing what is right. So I just want to encourage you tonight, just a few simple thoughts from this passage here as they have their aha moment and see God's provision. Remember that we don't always see it right away. And when we do, we need to praise Him. We need to acknowledge His goodness, His providence, His provision. We need to stay where He can bless us. Stay where He can bless us.